Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back, everybody. Now, in the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report, Al is moving this week, so the first two segments you are going to hear are a replay from pretty much exactly 6 months ago. I find it always fun and useful to revisit some of the interviews that take part a little time in the past. We tend to get a little bogged down by what's happening day to day, but recapping where the world was a few months ago, 6 months ago, always is important. So these first two segments are going to be a replay of what Al talked about 6 months ago with Jim McKinney. And then in the second two segments, Al is back with you again with Jim McKinney to break down some of the recent political issues. We hope you all enjoy.
Jim, the question I have is, we were the greatest country in the world. I'm not saying that we are not right now, but I'm saying we have an awful lot of catching up that we have to do. Let's start out talking about the economic situation in the United States. The official numbers right now in terms of inflation are admittedly a record high, around 11.1% for the last, it's been for the last four decades, but you're saying those numbers really are skewed negatively and that the numbers are really actually around 17%. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. So the producer price index numbers came out yesterday on Thursday. We're recording this on Friday. And those numbers showed 11.1% for the cost of production and the cost for raw materials, the things that actually create our products that we buy. The day before that came out with the Labor and Statistics, Bureau of Labor and Statistics came out with the number of 9.1% year over year for inflation with a 1.3% monthly inflation rate. Now these are since I think November, roughly 1981. So as you say, four decades since then and the end of the Carter administration and kind of the ramifications of the policies that they had. But the real problem is after that period of time, the government, the executive branch, and the different agencies changed the way they calculate the consumer price or move to a CPI, consumer price index. If you take away the way they looked at it, go back to pre-1981, 1982 numbers, the inflation rate would be significantly higher. Some recommend or say as much as 17%, maybe the highest we've ever recorded. And that's distinct possibility if you use the same statistics that they're judging the 40-year high on. So that's something that people need to be aware of. And of course, with the 9.1% year-over-year consumer price increases, the producer price increase showing 11.1% means that we have not stalled the inflation train, that the Fed and whatever's happening has not been enough to slow it. And of course, with the, we do have a slight decrease, a small percentage for fuel, which dropping 30 to 40 cents a gallon over the last month, which is some relief to a certain extent. But the reality is those previous costs from May, June increases haven't even taken effect yet, as we see with the producer price index. So you're going to continue to see a tremendous inflationary pressure. We probably have yet to see the peak, primarily because of the fiscal policy that the administration has focused on with the massive expenditures, and they're attempting Democrats are attempting to push through another massive spending bill, kind of a Build Back Better too. And if they are, it looks like Joe Manchin is saying, no way, I'm not going to do it, which is going to really upset again a lot of the Democrats. But as they try to push through this more spending bills, that's absolutely damaging. And the other piece of it is the regulatory environment that the administration continues to push on the energy sector. the restrictions, the lack of support, the influence from ESG, environmental social governance, investors pushing away from fossil fuels, and the government actually influencing those large investment companies to push ESG. And what that does is actually gives incredible power to many of these influential big, large funds like Fidelity and BlackRock. And yeah, that's just absolutely devastating the economy, because they're getting richer while the average middle-class American and low and the people on the lower end of the economic spectrum are once again becoming poorer very rapidly.
What I find to be interesting is a lot of people are saying that at least we're going to have a soft landing, at least the Fed's actions in terming the recession is going to prevent a recession from coming around the corner. The Journal came out yesterday and said that's absolutely false. There is no way that that's going to happen. We are definitely going to go into a recession. And with everything that I know about economics, economic trends, et cetera, I have to agree with that, Jimmy. The American people are really suffering. We go into a recession, it's going to be worse and worse and worse. The 2024, I should say, elections, I think, are going to reflect that also.
Yeah, I certainly hope they do, and we've got to ensure integrity in the election system to ensure that they do. Here's some of the real, you know, the Biden administration has been pushing the fastest growing economy and made these absolutely bogus statements, the best economy in history, you know. I mean, it's just ridiculous arguments.
Right.
We have not reached the employment level that we had prior to the COVID lockdowns in March of 2020. So we haven't even got back to where we were in 2020. So when they talk about a, you know, increase, look, this government, the Biden regime, actually was holding people out of work and firing people for not getting vaccinated up until just this last, you know, just a few months ago. And in fact, they're still holding some of these regulations and starting to push it. And you're hearing a lot about the midterm variant, in my view, the MTV, which is the Omicron 5 variant, as they're attempting to, again, influence election outcomes by controlling people through a lot of fear and these really, really bad policies that really destroyed our economy and have a tremendous impact. And we'll talk about later in the show the psychological impact. But the economic impact, we haven't recovered from it yet. So all the lies they're putting out there are absolutely false. The recession, my view, and I've actually been saying this for months on this show, that we probably are already in a recession that with these types of inflationary numbers and the lack, the actual purchasing power for Americans has dropped over 3%, negative 3% in incomes. Those are devastating numbers. Those are not equivalent to what happened back even in, I mean, worse than what happened in the 80s, in the late 70s and the early 80s. So yeah, we're there, Al. We are in a very difficult position. And the problem is this administration doesn't believe it. They try to lie their way out of it, and they're not setting policies in place in order to come out of it.
Well, no, they're not. There's a lot of rhetoric going on. The rhetoric makes absolutely no sense. And I think that people truly feel, aside from people who have been very, very fortunate in the real estate market, the level of, I think, poverty in the United States, and what I want to say, I mean psychological poverty, The level of psychological poverty in the United States right now is growing and growing and growing. And I'm not even close to being surprised, Jimmy, that, pardon me, bad throat. I'm not even close to being surprised that we are in a situation right now where the Democrats even are saying we don't want Biden to run again. Stick around. We're going to be right back. Going to talk a little bit about Biden in the Middle East. Right back.
your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. Well, we've got Joe Biden in the Middle East. As we're recording right now, he appears to be in Saudi Arabia, bending over and praying that these people will increase the level of energy production that's coming out of that country. What's going on, Jimmy?
Yeah, the sad thing is that as Biden is over there begging for the Saudis to increase oil production for the short term, he's actually influencing, as we mentioned in the previous segment, you know, trying to stop fossil fuel production in the United States. And he's in a very interesting position here because the Democrats and Biden himself used the Khashoggi incident in 2018 to really attack the Trump administration's relationship with the Saudis,
right,
in order to show that, you know, supporting this terrorist, authoritarian leadership. And now he has completely ignored all that, going back and basically licking their feet in order to beg them to increase production to relieve them from the inflationary pressures that we're seeing from energy and fuel prices, while they're continuing to push a lockdown on energy and fuel prices and stopping production and transportation distribution of fuel, fossil fuels in the United States, making us more dependent on foreign oil and foreign gas. This is absolute ridiculousness. And the problem that he's facing, Joe Biden is facing, is the Saudis may not be able to increase much production if they care to at all to support this administration, because they don't trust them. Because Biden is actually, part of the visit over there is to convince both Israel and Saudi Arabia to be more supportive of a new Iranian nuclear deal. And the unfortunate reality is the Iranians, very close, according to the International Agency for Energy Agency, Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, that they actually probably have at any time now enough weapons grade material to produce a weapon. And they've been attempting to do it for a long period of time, which would change the entire dynamic in the region and potentially cause tremendous conflagration of warfare in the area. The Saudis are fighting the Iranians now in Yemen and around the world and in other places. They don't want this to happen. And so the Biden regime going over there attempting to do this just seems to me to be absolutely futile policy.
Well, let me ask your opinion on this, Jim. I'm under the impression that what's going on in the Middle East, primarily with Iran and some of the other countries, number one, during the Trump administration, President Trump got an awful lot of peace projects going at the time. A lot of countries decided that it wasn't worth risking a huge, huge war in the area, and they signed peace treaties. Most of those treaties today are kind of gone by the wayside, which I think is really too bad. Why did that happen under the liberal administration, Jim? It makes no sense, man.
Yeah, I won't say the treaties, and I don't think it's a great statement to say that they've gone by the wayside. I think you're right, though, that they are not pursuing the policies that developed these peace deals
with
countries. Yeah, and I think so. The economic benefits and looking past the laser focus on the Palestinian issue allowed the Trump administration to expand peace negotiations with other areas, with UAE, with Bahrain, with Sudan. These were really important moments in history, very important moments in history. And what's happening now is the Biden regime was back in Israel in the last day and a half here, and reestablishing the relationships and the focus on a two-state solution on the Palestinians, which is really irrelevant for these other peace deals that happened during the Trump administration. The Trump administration was looking past it. The Biden regime is reverting back to the failed mistakes of the Obama administration, which caused so much turmoil in the region. And unfortunately, the gaffes and the lack of support, the lack of confidence and trust in America after the Afghanistan pullout failure, what's happening continually in Ukraine, and of course this kind of you know, back and forth. Biden has already made some really bad faux pas in Israel, right, and by crossing over into East Jerusalem, taking off the Israeli flag off the beast, the presidential limousine, those types of things. They're not going to convince the Israelis this is the right direction, no, in spite of their, you know, kind of kowtowing to this liberal, you know, coalition government in Israel. And the Palestinians don't really have the influence they once had. So again, they're focusing in the wrong area. They're focusing on reestablishing something that they tried to do and failed at in the previous administration. They're cutting back on Trump policies that actually got success in the region. And I think it's just, once again, it shows a lack of leadership and a lack of vision from the Biden team.
You know, what it shows to me is that it shows a huge increase in the amount of strength and the amount of influence of what I would call the progressives, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes of the world. I can't believe that a savvy politician like Joe Biden was at one time would allow something like that to happen. With the typical liberals in power, they could have done, I think they could have probably done okay. But, you know, going on to some of these, some of the actions of increasing green energy, et cetera, America is not interested in that. And I'm amazed that Pelosi and Schumer didn't realize that. Pelosi and Schumer are the ones to blame. They're the ones who really allowed this thing to get out of hand, Jimmy.
Well, I think, again, I don't think that there's any competence left or any decision-making ability left in Joe Biden. I think he is being handled by, multiple staffs, multiple people in that organization, inside the White House that have vying opinions and beliefs. And I think what we're seeing here is an incoherent set of policies, our foreign policy, our domestic policy, our, you know, border policy, our economic policy. These are not congruent, and they're fighting against each other. And it's because people inside Washington giving him advice are failing to actually work together in efficient manners for the best interest of the United States. And they're doing it from their own ideological, philosophical beliefs, that the esoteric intellectual view, which really is failing in the reality of the world. And that's unfortunate. That's what we're seeing.
Well, totally. And we're going to devote the second half of the show, unfortunately, not to the rest of the world. We're going to devote it to what's going on in America right now. We've got a huge, huge problem in America, as Jimmy and I have talked about on all of the daily editorials Monday through Friday of this past week. A huge problem. The psychological health of America right now is very minimal. We're going to be right back and we're going to talk about that. Stick around.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Top of the hour news is now over. We are now talking about what happened in that terrible, terrible accident in Ohio. Kamala Harris had kind of a weird thing to say. You want to get into that a little, Jim?
Yeah, so she's being just lambasted for making comments about support to Ohio, East Palestine, Ohio. That's where the train derailment happened now almost 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That train derailment created an absolute unbelievable environmental disaster and threatening the lives of the people in that area. And it's killing numerous, wildlife and potentially poisoning water sources. And Kamala Harris came out and said publicly, maybe the reason we're not, and this is, I'm going to paraphrase this, I'm not quoting, but the reason why we're not supporting East Palestine or these types of problems is because of equity. We need to provide support to communities that haven't been fairly treated in the past. That is absolutely a racist statement.
Yeah.
In my view, it is not representing the people of America. These people, and partly because East Palestine, Ohio, voted 70% for Trump. It's a small town, small community, but they are facing very, very devastating ramifications from this entire debacle.
Yeah.
And the debacle starts with the Department of Transportation. It goes to the EPA, the governor's office, DeWine, the governor's office in Pennsylvania, Shapiro. These different people got involved and decided to basically open up the containers and allow and burn off this toxic waste that was on board this train because they were afraid it might blow up.
Yeah.
But they evacuated people. They did not put the resources in order to stop the fire, which they probably could have done. Had they looked at it in a completely different way, had they seen what the potential ramifications are, they might have done something different, but it looks like they just didn't care and they didn't think through the process. And now we have senior government officials completely ignoring or trying to justify why they did not take action on this.
Well, you don't get much more serious than the Vice President of the United States. There's really only one office that's higher. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's fine. Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation, he came out and blamed Trump for this event, even though the failure, this problem is the response and the lack of recognition of the depth of the problem.
Yeah.
J.D. Vance, new senator for Ohio, the guy that wrote Hillbillyology, who won a rather strong victory in Ohio as a conservative, he went out to East Palestine. He stood in the water. There's a video out there of him. He put it out on Twitter where he stands next to a creek and he reaches in with a stick and rubs the bottom of the creek, and you can see the chemicals and the oil come from the bottom of the creek up. And of course, there's been thousands and thousands of fish that have died. There's been all kinds of wildlife and livestock that have died. And of course, they're saying, well, it's safe to drink the water. But when the EPA director got there, one of the local officials said, hey, yeah, you said the water's fine. You've been traveling a long time. Here's a glass of water from the tap. He would not drink it. The EPA director would not drink it. That's a big indicator that they understand this is a much deeper problem. And unfortunately, there is a lot of conspiracy talk coming up around the world right now, and specifically with conservative circles that say that this could be, in fact, and I'm not perpetuating this, I'm just saying this is what people are talking about, that this is an act on purpose in order to hurt a conservative community. And of course, that's a very dangerous thing when you have a government officials ignoring the problems, and then you've got inevitably the conspiracy theories are going to come up from it.
Yeah.
And that's just really, it's unacceptable. It's dividing the nation, and it's of course not representing people that they have to do, you know, they've got to take care of across this nation, no matter who you are, no matter what color or race or political party.
Yeah, I have to say, Jimmy, I know that we have a lot of folks on this show who are going to really take issue with this statement, but we really are a nation, pretty much a full disclosure. You know what's going on. You know what's going on back in Washington, D.C. I know what's going on back in Washington, D.C. CFS, Irish Tony, out of the box. Evalon, you guys always know what's going on down there. Anybody over there, I guess I should say, put it in a proper perspective, anybody who has any interest whatsoever in politics knows the state of our particular government, which is pretty low, pretty bad.
Very bad. Unfortunately, many people understand it, but there's little they can do about it, right? The way the elections have been manipulated, the lack of trust in the system, and then, of course, when you see these failures over and over again, you want to know how that can continue on. Well, it continues on because the people that are speaking, that come out for the policy in this nation, are willing to say whatever it takes to cover themselves and cover their own behinds. And then fortunately, that's not beneficial for everybody. I think you made a comment that that we're a fully transparent nation. Well, the problem is you can see things beyond it, but there's no admission of guilt or responsibility from this administration at all.
Absolutely.
They are not taking and they, you know, the over response with these balloons, it looks like now they shot down Hobby Lobby balloons, $12 Hobby Lobby balloons with, you know, a couple $100,000 missiles. It's just knee-jerk responses because of failed policies, and then they come out and publicly try to convince people that that basically what is white is actually black, or what's black is actually white. That doesn't make any sense, but there are still people in America that listen to them and think that that's what's happening because they are disconnected from any other information.
You bet they are. You know, it's kind of like you really wonder why. Well, when I said pretty transparent, what I really mean is, you know, we know pretty well what's going on in the country, and I have to say, one of our challenges is we've got to be very sophisticated in our delivery of the news, because our listeners really are sophisticated. They know exactly what's going on, and I would not call them necessarily conspiracy theorists at all. I think they're very, very bright, and I think it's a real challenge to stay ahead of them if you want to know the truth.
No, I agree. A lot of listeners out there, they're very attuned. Obviously, if they listen, they're paying it more attention than most Americans do. The reality is most people only get maybe a little bit of news, if they get it at all, from a network television station when they come home, if they watch the TV. Most Americans probably get their news from Microsoft News or Yahoo News links off of websites that only pull particular pieces of information that are geared and shaped to support those industries and those tech companies, and certainly the Democratic Party. And that's where the majority of people get information from. There is other sources out there, but most people aren't, they just don't pay attention. They don't care that much. So they get a 1 or 2 minute clip on the radio as they're driving home from work, possibly. Maybe they look at something and then they see feed on their Facebook, or they see news feeds from the internet, and that stuff has been modulated, shaped, and geared for a particular agenda.
You know, I was a little surprised. We made a comment on a recent daily editorial having to do with how the internet controls people's minds, and I agree 1,000%. That's something that the American people have to be aware of. They also have to be aware of the fact right now, and then we'll be right back to wrap up the show. Politics on the radio. You know, we're going to talk a little bit right now, just kind of a free for all on politics in the United States. I am terribly, terribly disappointed with the direction our country is headed. It doesn't matter if you're in Seattle, Washington. It doesn't matter if you're in Bellingham. It doesn't matter if you're in New York. People are so unhappy. Many of them are going to start joining the John Fettermans of the world, claiming they're having nervous breakdowns. It's really sad, Jimmy.
Yeah, it is sad, and I think we're seeing a lot of problems in America because of this combination of factors. You know, we opened up in the first segment. I mean, the economy, the continuation in some ridiculous way of these COVID lockdowns, the potential negative impacts of the vaccinations, the border problems, crime. I mean, the economy. You know, they talk about inflation as going down, but inflation actually is still at 6%, 6.5% year over year, which means last year in January when it was up really high, we're 6.5% against last year's peak. So this is crazy. It's really high. The value of a dollar is diminishing incredibly rapidly in these 2 years.
I agree.
Yeah, and it's killing people. So that frustration is actually, it's making people very uncomfortable. And as you say, Al, you're very concerned about the direction of the nation.
Yes, I am.
Polling shows that like 75 or 80% of the country feel like you do. Where are we going and what are we doing? And what the heck is happening right now?
Yeah.
They don't have trust and faith in leadership, even though, quote, they were elected by the same people.
Yeah.
You know, at least a percentage of them.
They were elected by the internet, Jimmy. They were elected by the internet and people who wanted to make sure of their effectiveness. Primarily the progressive people, the Democrats, you know, they got involved in basically, I would have to say, stuffing the ballot box. You know, old things that everybody is aware of has happened in the past. It's just happening more effectively right now.
Well, you're absolutely right, because of the ability to manipulate information and control and silence political opposition. So, you know, something has got to give with this, if the nation's to survive.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit concerned with the actual lack of faith and trust in governance, because you lose lack of faith in governance, then you're going to have some serious problems. And of course, this administration is doing nothing to reestablish any of that trust and faith. They're not being honest.
Yeah.
And they're making decisions that are very much oriented towards political agendas that are not popular with the public. The American people do not want to see the Green New Deal, the Green Agenda.
No,
they don't want their cars to be all electric. They can't afford it. The impact to the environment is actually worse than what, you know, anybody's saying.
Yeah.
We're not going to transition from fossil fuels in 10 years. It's just not possible.
No.
Not possible unless you send people back to the Stone Age. So those types of frustrations are beginning to play a very big role in the psyche and the psychology of what's happening with each other on the street. And that hatred and that animosity is directly related to leadership and people's trust and faith in governance.
Well, I would maintain this whole thing started. I think the United States government, you heard it first here, Tony, I would think that the U.S. government really, really began to deteriorate when they really lost control of the country back in the Vietnam days, to be honest with you. Thank you, Lyndon Johnson.
I will say that some of the decision making that went back then was, again, people felt that they could control the population rather than allowing the voters to make a decision for their own interests. As we've seen this change of the elitist, and this is the World Trade Organization, the OSCE, NATO, European Union, and then the World Economic Forum is the perfect example, where elites believe that they know better than everyone else, and then you lose the possibility of democracy. You lose the possibility of response based on public and people's interests and needs.
Correct.
If you go to this technocracy or these elitist views of how to control the world. And the more we go towards that direction, the more likely there's going to be destabilization and eventual frustration that really, really crushes some of these communities.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, it was interesting. I headed down to Seattle, my new hometown. Headed down on what's today, Friday, late Friday afternoon. I headed back this morning and I headed down there yesterday. I would have to say, I was trying to beat the traffic for like, which is incredible down there. And I didn't think twice about all of the homeless people that I saw, It just, you know, it kind of seemed normal. You know, well, here we are. I mean, my kids live at the crossroads of 45th and Interstate 5. Interstate 5 is populated primarily by homeless people. Downtown Seattle is populated to a large extent by homeless people. It's kind of surreal to me, Jim.
It is, and it's really unacceptable, but sure, this is what the policies get you. The leftist progressive policies will get you. It doesn't help. It actually hurts community and society. We're destabilizing the moral fabric and the social fabric of our nation based on these policies. It's very clear that they do not do better for people with the drug policies.
Not even close. They don't. And your president is not even coming close to addressing the problem. I will not admit that Biden is my president, because he's not.
I mean, people went nuts over Donald Trump. But the reality was, Donald Trump did a very good job over a period of time securing the border. He did a very good job in keeping the economy floating with very low inflation. He did a great job on foreign policy of forcing the European Union and NATO members to actually contribute and basically stabilize relationship with North Korea. Stop the missile launches. Relationships with in the Middle East between Israel and four other Muslim nations that had never happened before. There were a lot of successes and stabilized processes under that time. All of that has gone backwards in a very rapid period of time. It's hard to understand how people don't understand what's happening, but the animosity, the anger, the derision, the division that was created by the media and the Democratic Party to blame Trump and to create this, you know, angst and frustration was very successful.
These corporations,
these global companies, these tech industry companies, they were incredibly successful at dividing the nation. This entire push towards, you know, racial diversity separates the country. These things are really damaging to our society, and we, you know, you've got to call them out and you've got to stop it in order to change the direction, in order to get people to trust each other again
and trust where our future.
It's a very sad moment in our history.
It is a very sad moment in our history. There's no question about that whatsoever. You know, I'm just hoping that I made a commitment to you that I was going to become a real expert on what's going on domestically and internationally. I've got the perfect environment to do that in, and I gotta tell you, I hope that the result for me is the same as the result was for John Fetterman. I would guess that he's probably a pretty smart cookie, and I would guess that he realizes that his country, because of people like himself, is going down the tube. You know, the more you learn about this stuff, the more you'll realize that Irish Tony and the rest of the guys on the website are 100% correct.
Well, I would say that there's a great views of what's happening out there, and we have to do something to stem the tide rather than just sit and complain about it.
Oh, exactly. Well, I'm going to have some thoughts next weekend, actually next week, when it comes to the daily editorial. Jim, thanks. I got to get going and start moving again.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.